One of the barometers of the health of the computer industry are global semiconductor orders. Semiconductors include everything from the chips in IoT devices, automobiles, industrial applications like robotics, servers in data centers, and of course in our PCs and phones. Amid the COVID-19 pandemic, there's the obvious question of how the spread of the disease and the worldwide practice of shelter-in-place will affect the tech industry. So let's check in with analyst Mario Morales, Program Vice President, Enabling Technologies and Semiconductors at IDC, who just published 4 days ago a brief entitled COVID-19 to have significant effect on worldwide semiconductor market in 2020. So Mario, I'll bet you're so busy, but thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, no problem. We're updating our scenarios every couple weeks now, and it's, you know, there's so much information that's coming through now that it makes each forecast outdated within a week just because of the amount of change.
Well, again, really thank you for lending your insights. Now, could you lay out for us briefly how the market was going before the pandemic was predicted and how things looked for 2020 then?
Sure. So when I think back, and I'm going back probably to December of last year, so it seems like a long time ago, but it really hasn't been. Let's say a quarter ago, I think we were getting closer to the bottom of where the semiconductor market was supposed to end up. I think for most of last year, we saw a very large inventory overhang, and there was a lot of pricing pressure, specifically in areas like memory and storage. And so overall, the total semiconductor market was declining, and for the year, it declined about 12%. And so looking into 2020, we were anticipating somewhat of a recovery, but it was going to be very nominal. So we were only anticipating about a 2% growth for the year as a total industry. And then we saw the impact of the outbreak begin to just bring a lot of uncertainty to the market. But there were certain market segments that still were getting close to the bottom, like DRAM and NAND. Those markets had suffered over 70% price erosion in the space over probably the last 5 to 6 quarters. And mostly because many of the customers for the previous couple years have been ordering excessively. And so there was this large overhang of inventory from the cloud service providers and even the enterprise that really slowed down the amount of demand that they were expecting to see. Overall, in general, we were anticipating a slow recovery for the semiconductor market. We did expect to see that China would continue to weaken. Now, you know, even before the outbreak in China, I think that the government was already expecting to do some form of stimulus in the market, both for energy prices and also just to in taxes, and also just to get the market growing at the 6% rate, which is a target that China typically likes to focus on. And then the outbreak really began to change things, and we started seeing immediately by the end of January, we started seeing an increase, of course, in the number of cases. And the death toll began to grow, specifically in China. So they locked down and quarantined China. They began to implement initially a local travel ban, but then that was extended by the U.S. and it was extended by other countries like Japan and Korea. But even before those bans began to occur, people were still traveling. And that's one of the reasons why we've seen the spread that we've seen today outside of China. So as we get into the February timeframe, because of the travel bans and quarantines, we started seeing supply chains begin to, and logistical industries begin to get impacted because now you can't get in parts or materials to produce. And so much of that has taken us into the March timeframe where we are starting to see a gradual improvement in China in terms of supply. Keep in mind that China is the largest consumer and supplier of PCs, smartphones, automotive, tablets. I mean, most of the major industries at some way or form touch China. And so China is very critical to the semiconductor market. As a whole, China drives about a third of the total semiconductor market, so about $130 billion based on 2019 data.
Now, you're covering more than the chips that are in our computers and phones.
That's correct.
Okay, so in a moment, I want to ask you about demand going forward. But what about demand before the pandemic and leading up to where we are now? What did that look like?
Yeah, so when we look at the space from a demand standpoint, there were positive areas where we were anticipating to see inflection points of growth because you were looking at 5G phones being introduced in the middle of this year, really to ramp up for the second half of the year. We also started seeing a return in the amount of cloud infrastructure spending that you were seeing not by the big eight companies. That's Google, Facebook, Amazon, Microsoft, and so forth. But the big eight were still investing very heavily, and that began to return. And we were also anticipating that the enterprise was going to invest also in their own clouds and their own private clouds. So there were certain market areas where we thought that there were good inflection point areas where we were going to see very strong and healthy growth from a semiconductor standpoint. Now we're starting to see that some of those markets will have some delays in terms of their start time. In some cases, it could be 1 or 2 quarters of delay, but inevitably, some of these technologies, especially infrastructure technologies, they're going to still happen. They're going to still occur because many of those projects are very longer term projects. And so you're seeing investments in infrastructure for smart cities, for smart buildings. You look at energy in those market segments, there was some investment already happening, and those things cannot just be turned off. I think in some cases, because of logistical reasons or because of travel bans, you might see some delay in some of these technologies, but I think inevitably they do come back and are going to be very important and foundational to the semiconductor market returning back to growth.
Well, let's talk about behavior changes. And, you know, as we're all basically forced inside, we're using our devices, perhaps more intensely, even a little more broadly. Some of those habits are bound to stick. And it's probably not going out on a limb too much to say that some usage changes may be in place after the pandemic. Do you see any effects of that on the semiconductor industry?
I think there's a different types of devices, right? You have devices that are proliferating across the infrastructure, and that whether it's that's a retail kiosk or you go to any industrial manufacturing floor, you're seeing a lot more automation, a lot more electrification, and so that's already beginning to happen. I think as a consumer or as a person like you or me, we already use our phone. It's a very personal device. That's probably one of the first things we look at when we wake up in the morning. So I think that the usage of these devices is already here. Where I see a big change is when you start thinking about shelter in place and work home scenarios and extending that, you're going to need a lot more internet infrastructure, right? So that's more servers, larger data centers to be able to support the streaming services that you're going to see. I mean, just think about the school system now. In the U.S., there's over 30 million children that attend just the public schools in the U.S. Now, if they're all not going to school right now, they're all going to start using different types of applications like Zoom to be able to still stay somewhat connected to a lot of their classrooms and their teachers. And so you'll see more of that, and that will drive an increase in use of infrastructure. And I think that's where you're going to see some spending. And those are the same projects that I was talking about earlier. I don't see those projects going away because some of that investment requires years of planning before you can actually do it. And in some cases, I think places like the U.S., we definitely have better bandwidth, but not necessarily to support not only the streaming services, but also the amount of students now that are going to be on the network. And I think that's where you're going to see a bigger shift. And then also, how does that change also the future of work? We've been looking at that very closely at IDC for a number of years now, and we're dedicating a lot of research into that space just because we are seeing shifts in the way work is done, especially as more and more of the folks are remote. I know at IDC now, there are over a third of our employees before even this crisis were operating remotely. And so I think that it does work well in places like the U.S., and I think it could work well in Europe. But when you start getting to Asian-based countries like Taiwan and Korea and Japan and China, there's a lot more in-person kind of interactions that you must have and continue to have to do business. So I'm not sure how that's going to change the dynamics in China, but I know in the U.S. we've already sort of become a lot more flexible in our work environment.
I see. So it sounds like kind of what you're saying is, even though in the near term demand is going to be curtailed simply because the parts just aren't there, people aren't going to be able to buy a cell phone that's just not available because the parts weren't there to make it.
Right.
These are sort of temporary things. Is that fairly accurate? Is that kind of what you're saying?
At this point right now, most of the concern has been around the supply, the ability for China to to turn their facilities back on and start producing again. I think as we move out later in the year, we're going to find that the fact that we didn't see manufacturing workers return all at once in China, and they lost over 1.5 to 2 months worth of income, you start seeing an impact to disposable spending. And so there are some of these macro factors. You look at energy prices now, and you're seeing where the price of oil is going. It tells you a lot about where demand potentially goes. That means that people are not driving as much. You got airlines now basically hunkered down and not flying. That has an immediate impact on energy prices. So at some point in time, you do see some elasticity, and then the market returns. But people are going to change their behavior. They're going to probably look to buy more essential things with the disposable income that they have. We have still not started yet where if this shelter in place and work situation, and even in the US and in Europe, extends itself into May or into June, which is very likely, then you're going to start seeing people actually lose their jobs. And I mean, you're starting to see economists now talk about multiple millions of people losing their jobs. And so at that point in time, then the second half really starts looking more bleak instead of a somewhat of a recovery for the industry as a whole. And I think that we're going to have to get through that sort of economic shock, and which, of course, impacts demand overall. Now, what we're looking closely at right now is looking at what is the leadership in terms of governments doing for their plan to stimulate the economies, whether it in China or the U.S. or even Europe, and what kind of plans do they have in place to kind of bring back the consumer, especially, and it really comes down to establishing some form of stability and some confidence, and also having some leadership, which is, you know, depending on what country you're looking at, it's hard to see at this point.
Interesting. Sounds like the back end stuff, the cloud providers, the data center providers and operators will end up robustifying a lot of their services because of the COVID-19 outbreak.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just look at, if you start looking at some of the cities, I mean, the epicenter in the U.S. has really been in Washington. And if you look closely at Seattle, there's a couple of companies, operators that service Seattle, and they've seen a very strong increase in the use of their bandwidth just in the last couple of weeks because of the amount of change. And I mean, that's one of the first locations that began to sort of hunker down and shut down everything. And of course, they saw an increase in their services. And I think you're going to see that across the states as this continues to play itself out over the coming month.
Is there anything that you think is interesting to add to the discussion?
I think when I look at this, it's really, you know, nobody wants to look at their 401k portfolio right now, just because it's just dwindling as we speak. And I think a lot of it really comes down to confidence. If I look at the stock market, it's really a future indicator of prosperity, a future indicator for all the markets. And right now, we're not seeing the leadership that we need to see and the stability that we need to see to kind of get through this crisis. And that's, to me, a bigger concern, because that also affects ultimately the consumer. And then I'm looking very closely, as I mentioned earlier, at what kind of stimulus you're going to see around the country and also in other countries as well. Because I think this requires heavy government involvement so that when people start potentially losing their jobs, there's going to have something that can soften the blow. And I think that's what's more concerning to me. That is what I'm looking at closely, and my team is looking at more closely as we think about what kind of scenarios the market's going to look like even just 6 months from now. Those are the things that I'm looking at.
I see. Okay. Well, Mario, thank you so much for your insights. We really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
Mario Morales is Program Vice President, Enabling Technologies and Semiconductors at IDC. This is the Tech Barometer Podcast. I'm Jason Lopez. If you want to hear other Tech Barometer podcasts, go to theforecastbynutanix.com.